Welcome to another episode of Software Quality Today. I'm your host, Dori Gonzalez-Acevedo, co-founder and CEO of ProcellarX, a life science strategic consulting firm whose mission is to rethink, reshape, and remake software quality and validation industry for the digital future. I'm super excited to bring to you a conversation with Phil Jarvis. My apologies up front for the sound quality. It was a total epic fail on my part, but Jason has worked miracles to get this great conversation to you all. Several years ago, I had the pleasure of working with Phil while he was at AbbVie, and I'm excited to continue to watch him at the new venture of Vector Solutions as the Director of Integrated C&Q and Paperless Strategy. Phil is pragmatic and passionate about anything about validation and has well over 20 years of experience in all challenging for us to do better. He has managed validation projects within medical device, pharmaceuticals, biologicals, as well as is an active member of the life science community as an ISPE member. He co-leads the ISPE Paperless Validation Subcommittee. And some of the stuff that he's going to share with us today is just a testament to who he is within his community in Ireland, as well as abroad here when he comes across. So without further ado, welcome. Well, welcome to another episode of Software Quality Today. I'm super excited to be able to interview Phil Jarvis here live at Connects Validation University. We're in Philadelphia, and Phil, you're in from the...
In from Ireland.
From sunny Limerick.
Not so sunny Limerick when I left. So.
And it was raining here yesterday, so that wasn't really fun either.
No, it wasn't much of a climatic shock to me either, which is good. But no, the travel was good, and it's delighted to be here with you today.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Thanks. I know you were in December, you were with Connects Live when we were over in Ireland.
Yep, in Dublin.
And so you guys have been joining now as new sponsors for Connects.
We have. I've had a long-standing affiliation with John ever since he left IVT and started Connects. So I think I've been faculty since it started. But no, I really enjoy these events just because of the connectivity and the knowledge sharing and the actual real life examples that are shared. I see real value in it. And I think as part of Vector now, you know, we see ourselves sponsoring and growing more with that partnership, getting involved in publications also with Connects, and also maybe on the training side as well in the future as well.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we start with telling us a little bit about how you came to be in validation, because it's not something that we all aspire to be.
No, I don't think you ever sort of go, I'm going to be a validation engineer. No, I started off being a chemist. So I have a...
Me too.
The best people are chemists, definitely. And then went on to the lab from being a chemist, and then obviously got into sort of HPLC validation, etc., because no one else wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which de facto, is common, exactly. De facto role we had to play, yeah.
So from there, got into more manufacturing, equipment validation, process validation. I worked in J&J for about 10 years in various validation lead sort of jobs until I would say that was about 10, 15 years ago now. And then I went on to a big bio startup in Cork, Biomarin.
Biomarin.
Yeah, yeah. Which was their validation lead there. So that was my first ever greenfield site. So that was all exciting. And then really got into one of my passions there, which was more around risk-based validation. Mm-hmm. So how can we do things more efficient? How can, because Biomarin is rare diseases. So we were really pushed with a mission of this is the only medicine that is out there for this disease. And one of the great things that Biomarin did is they had a treatment for Batten's disease. Nothing out there, and I don't know if you know anything about Batten's disease. So it affects usually children. They don't usually live past, you know, 14, sort of thing. Very debilitating disease. Nothing out there to treat it at the moment. So, you know, very much like trying to get that treatment out there as fast as possible, embracing the most lean methodologies available out there. And through that, that led me to, well, if we can only go so far with paper, what can we do when we digitalize things? And that has been my passion probably for the last 6 to 7 years now. How can we digitalize these processes? How can we link systems together so we can create this digital ecosystem and share data and become much more data-centric than paper-centric?
Yeah, I know you and I share very much the same sort of mindset around that. And it's and then you were at AbbVie as well.
I was, yeah. So I went from Byron and I went to AbbVie. I was there as their EU C&Q lead for 3 years. And that was really developing both their risk-based C&Q strategy off the ISP baseline guide version 2. Mm-hmm. So my boss, Laurie Kim at the time, who's a very, you know, she was a great mentor to me, very, I would say, inspirational woman, okay? And she was one of the authors of the ISP guide. And she said, look, let's get ahead of the curve. I want to push this into Byron. And me and her did that. But then at the same time, we said, let's digitize this at the same time. We rolled out in the last 3 or 4 years, we've rolled out to, I think, 8 sites within the AbbVie network.
Yeah. So, that's awesome. And then you bridge the gap and you've jumped over to the dark side on the consulting side.
Yeah. So I don't know. Have you ever met Martin Radecki from Vector? He's
no,
one of the,
I don't
one
think
of the
so.
Managing directors. So he's very inspirational sort of character.
Okay.
He's full of energy.
Uh-huh. Oh, I have to meet him.
Yeah, you'd love him. But he's just a ball of energy. So Vector was the partner for AbbVie rolling out Neat. And, you know, had really good experience with them as a consulting helping me at the time. And I was beginning to evaluate, like, how can I influence wider than just one organization? Mm-hmm. And Vivian Fenton, so another woman in pharma that I admire, amazing, amazing woman. She's, you know, she's in the automation space, so very rare, I think, to find someone in that space. And she was like, would you consider coming over to you know, the consultancy side? And really, it's been a revelation to me because not only do you have spare time to go to conferences like this, I'm very active in the ISPE. I'm active in Irish universities and upskilling validation staff in Ireland. But also it's great to work on like a very big variety of sort of projects. So no, it's been very good so far, but very different as well.
Yeah, different. And I like, for me too, is the variety and being able to spread that wealth of knowledge across a much more broader spectrum. It really helps inspire more, right? And then how do we tap into that next generation, just like you're saying you're doing in the Irish universities, right? Like, how can we teach this stuff? Because we were never taught this.
You were never taught. Yes, exactly. Right? And that's one of my great passions. So about, well, I think it's about 6 or 7 years ago, like Ireland's just exploding biotech-wise at the moment. And there was just a complete shortage of validation staff. So we got together a lot of companies with IBEC, which is one of the Irish governmental sort of authorities there, and said, how do we increase the visibility of validation being a great career
right.
to get into?
Yeah, yeah.
Because people were just not aware that it was out there. And said, right, well, we'll start small and we'll do some upskilling courses, some springboard courses, they call them. And they pulled experts from the Irish validation community and created very interactive sort of classes with case studies and stuff like that. So we got really good feedback from that. And now they're doing master's courses, modules for BSc honours courses in biotech. So it's great because we get people now that have a solid understanding of validation coming out of universities.
Right.
The other thing is, and this is a bit of a spoiler alert, actually, me and Neat, where Vector are an official partner with Neat, we are working on an Irish universities validation instance of Neat so that they will use Neat as part of digital validation modules going forward.
Yeah.
So
That's a great, so how to incorporate these things from the very beginning rather than waiting to folks getting into a career or into a full-time position at a big organization to have that experience, but actually get it in. That's great. That's awesome.
I mean, it really gives benefit to all sorts of parties because we get staff.
Right.
That, right. We can hire.
Yep.
That know these skill sets. But also, we also have an awareness
right.
from them that this is a career and what skill sets that they need.
What's needed. And so actually going to be launched tomorrow on the podcast is my episode with Sue Black from the UK. She is doing similar in her work on Tech Up Women, where really partnering with companies to be very specific about what the skills are that are needed and then teach those skills because they know what they are. We just haven't educated across the board for what they need to be.
And I think those skill sets are constantly evolving, especially the way technology is evolving so
yeah.
fast at
yeah.
the moment. Like critical thinking, mm-hmm. decision making,
mm-hmm.
really, creating good knowledge management processes,
right.
etc.
Yeah.
So it's great to be involved with something that I'm highly passionate about. Like. Trying to teach, give young people a great start to what can be an amazing career.
Career, yeah, that's awesome. The one of the things that I'm interested in, and I was wondering to pick your brain about, see what you think. You know, especially because you're often in the commissioning side and equipment commissioning side. There's so much new technology coming out there with. How to do literally validation on the floor, right? Which is amazing and awesome. And yet I can hear in the back of my head some quality folk maybe perhaps hesitant on wanting to adopt some of that new technology. So do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so it's something, we definitely have had to contend with multiple clients at the moment because a lot of, especially going to digital validation practices or very new technologies, there is that hesitancy there because I think we're a very conservative industry at the end mm-hmm. of the day. But I think as there's more of a drive by companies now of this speed to market, I think that's really mm-hmm. helping pull the quality folks into the fold mm-hmm. and become involved in solving that problem. And a lot of these things are big cultural changes as well. They're not easy to do.
Right, yeah. Cultural changes, which include process change, which includes people change, right? And I think you and I have talked about this. It's not the tools. We can do the tool part is the easy part,
yeah.
right? It's the people part that we have to help along the way, how to enable, how to utilize the system that we're putting into place the most effectively as that they're designed for, right? Like a lot of these tools do a lot of things, but not everyone uses all of those things.
Exactly. And then how do you provide people with really top-class training? A lot of our clients at the moment, especially in the need space, we look at them wanting to make their training more efficient. So looking at more CBT type sort of mm-hmm. courses. But a lot of the time, there's so many scenarios in validation that you can't beat an instructor-led sort of
yep.
Classroom-based session as well. But I think you raise a really, really good point. There's the new technologies and new tools that are coming out. But especially in the digital space, there are huge challenges of how we're going to validate things.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at AI, mm-hmm. deep learning,
yep.
Machine learning, how do we actually validate something that is determining its own decisions?
Yeah.
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 And these are really exciting challenges
right.
that we need to solve quite quickly.
Yeah. And have to think about differently, right? So getting back to your earlier point about critical thinking, right? Like we can't take the same methodologies that we've been doing for the last 15, 20 years, right? And apply it to the same way. It doesn't work that way. It's not possible, which leads me to more of the agile mindset conversations, right?
Yeah.
And how to help organizations make that transition just even thinking about that in a different way, right?
And I have a case study. I have a session tomorrow at Connects around Pharma 4.0, and there's an example of that in machine learning. So how do you get people comfortable, especially the quality organization? Mm-hmm. So I use an example in there of a vision system. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say you're inspecting a medical device. Let's say it's a contact lens. Okay, a lot of the time you are teaching that vision system what is good and what's bad. Mm-hmm. If you go to something that is using machine learning, is going to begin determining what's good and what's bad. And that's quite scary for quality. So what can you put in place that the sort of appeases that can get the quality mindset around, okay, is it doing a good job? Is it making a good decision? Well, you can put parallel activities in place. So maybe, okay, you allow it to make that decision, but then that's vetted by a human being. Yes, that is bad. Mm-hmm. And you tell it is mm-hmm. bad. Or maybe for a certain amount of time, you'll have maybe a QC check that's ongoing right. with that. Right. So I think there's ways of beginning to make people comfortable with the approaches.
Yeah, I think similar, we saw this in software quality testing and test automation, right? Folks really not understanding the technology about test automation, right? And having to do that parallel sort of approach for a while, right? Yeah. Running a manual test and then running an automated test and showing that it's the same thing. Now, where we're at with the automation tools from a test software quality test, you don't need to do that anymore,
yeah.
right? But we did need to do that in the beginning, maybe. Granted, some folks are still doing that, but the technology has well surpassed the need to do that parallel approval, if you will, from test automation perspective and software quality yeah. testing. It'd be the same for machine learning and other types of where you physically can do that visual inspection versus maybe something else to do that comparison for us, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's helping that process along its way, just getting people comfortable with that right. new challenge, that new process.
Yeah. The other thing I was wondering, so again, I often come from a software development kind of perspective, but the constant change that's needed in order to get out there today, right? It's we're ideating as we go. But that's the same on the production floor.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, so back in the day when I was on pilot and doing chemical process engineering, right, we did hundreds of experiments until we got to the final one, right? So what do you think about, has anything really fundamentally changed, or are we able to adopt that iterative process on, so when we talk about validation 4.0 and Pharma 4.0, right, it's really continuous a manufacturing chain, right, yeah. Which is different than 15 years ago where it was like discrete set tasks.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Indeed, and I think a lot of that comes down to a lot of what's being discussed here today by some good speakers, like what is our decision-making process, what is the risk,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, you know, we have to say, well, if I'm making something that is a treatment for a person, especially in the ATMP sort of space, where it is literally the only treatment with someone that's dying,
mm-hmm.
well, what is the risk of...
Right, they're going to die or not anyway, right? Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that some of that is around the risk and the decision-making that right. you've been talking about. And then some of it needs to be, so what's so bad about failing?
Great question.
What's so bad about learning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's giving up the being perfectionist, which I'll talk about tomorrow in my authentic leadership sort of thing, right? Is giving up that we always have to get it right all the time, right? And that's part of the quality mindset that perhaps needs to be set aside, and failing first, failing fast is regular for like software development, but we need to actually embed that into everything, right?
Yeah, but as you say, it's fundamental to the whole production
process.
When we do pharmaceutical design, as per ICH Q8, mm-hmm. you know, we are there right at the beginning, doing all our DOEs, finding our edge of failures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't just stop there.
Right.
You know? It informs the process and process going forward, but I think we just need to be more cognizant of risk and what things actually mean.
I thought it was interesting this morning what James Mason was talking about, the hand sanitizers Did you hear that? Oh, you didn't see that part. So the FDA saw that the warning letters and things around the hand sanitizers went up because everyone was trying to get hand sanitizers out during the vaccines, right? Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of knockoffs that was being done and not being tested properly. And it just highlights the fact that risk constantly has to be reevaluated, right? Yeah. Because it's something like that we couldn't have anticipated before. But then it's just a very good way to say, yeah, it's a constant looking at risk, right? So not just doing a risk assessment from the very, you know, one time it's done. Right. It's not that. It's this constant living sort of breathing thing. One of my pet peeves around requirement specifications, right, is that, you know, folks want to take this requirement specification and put it in a doc management system and think that it's done. Mm-hmm. Requirements are living, right? We all, you know, designers and engineers understand that, like, that's constantly evolving. And part of that is looking at the risk each and every time that we're doing something with it.
Yeah, and I think digitization is going to help us out as well, because we're going to have much more advanced process controls in place, especially mm-hmm. if where companies are, you know, definitely, you know, we saw in one of the ISPE polls at the moment that was done recently, there was a survey by the C&Q COP, and more companies are looking towards digitalization. And I think that helps with the constant assessment mm-hmm. of risk, because you're able to use PAT technologies to say, well, this attribute isn't quite right at this step, even if it is a continuous process.
Right.
What can we do maybe then to adjust that process?
Right.
And maybe that's where machine learning comes in.
Mm-hmm. You know,
if we can build up all these technologies on top of each other, we get a much more dynamic and a much stronger control strategy that then allows us to make good decisions.
Yeah. And along those lines, I know, I can imagine when you're implementing Neat for a customer, similar is you're looking at their business process to kind of align some of those data points, right? So that they're not totally whatever they think, right? You're trying to help them, guide them towards standardizing their data to not just implementing a system, right? Because it's more than just implementing a system. It's actually standardizing their data so that they can make meaning of that data as that go along. Because if we don't do that process, right? If we don't go through and have that standardization, we can't make any further predictions or analysis, right?
Yeah. And I think that's a great challenge for the future as well. How do you get all of these systems talking to each other in a standard language without this need for middleware to convert?
I know we were talking about this on the ISP subcommittee that we're on, right? Like that is the ideal, right? Like how to do that. And part of my lessons learned over the last 15 years is you know, companies ask for lots of things, but as a consultant, they might not be asking for the right thing.
Yep.
And there's a way that we can, given that we see a lot and a lot of different varieties out there being consultants, we can actually help standardize the industry better if we do that collectively. And so that's one of the things I love about the ISP subcommittees, as well as in, you know, connects like this, right? We work, collaborate on what are the best industry practices? What do we want to move forward? One of the things I was thinking about when you were sharing also with the next generation coming in is data science in general.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think data analytics and data science is just going to become more and more of a growth need within the industry. Which is why, you know, it's great to get things like Neat in at the Irish universities level.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that these systems are capable of doing these things. We have a very good partnership actually with a data analytics company as part of Vector. So we see that strategically being like a, mm-hmm. definitely a growth sort of thing within Vector as well. But making sense of data, contextualizing the data,
mm-hmm.
and making decisions off that data. And proving, you know, is this the right right data, because statistics can lie.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can pick and choose poorly.
I've had a very blended career. I'm very blessed, I guess, that way. I spent half of my life in medical devices, which is very statistically based.
Yep.
And then a lot of time in biotech and then steriles, etc. So, you know, having that statistical base, as you say, you get to challenge the data, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, if I have data which looks great, but it's not normal, you know,
yeah.
what's that really telling me?
Yeah. Yes, so that's right.
You've got to have some, general presumptions about that data
yeah.
or assessment of the data. So I think data is going to become a huge thing in the future, especially when we're looking at things like real-time release,
mm-hmm. you know,
especially with things like technologies like ATMPs, when you're going to want that real-time release mm-hmm. to give it to a patient that's,
yeah.
that's dying.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Are there other things that you want to touch on while we have time today? Plans
no.
for the future, things that you...
Plans for the future. I think, you know, I'm learning a lot. I think the great thing about the consultancy is that you're learning something new every single day mm-hmm. at the moment. I'm really excited about the future, the partnership with Neat, mm-hmm. Especially as their new version 9.0 goes on. And there's much more powerful functionality to connect to other systems
mm-hmm.
And create that digital eco-structure that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But really excited to be at the event today and actually, you know, talking to people well, face-to-face.
Yeah, yeah, I know, yeah. It was, I was at SQA a couple weeks ago, and it was like 800 people. And it was, a lot of people came out because it was the first time was full in person and really enjoying in community, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things I think you said earlier around the Connects community was we're trying to build more support structure for everyone across, you know, wherever you're at within your career, right? So folks like yourself and I can come in and help guide folks from the very beginning, give them some question space to ask questions. And then with the FDA here as well, we've gotten great representation from the FDA. So
yeah.
That's us.
The thing that I would say is I'm very positive about the future as well, because you know, we're hiring a lot of new engineers to support our growth in Ireland. And what we're finding is we're recruiting, especially at a junior level,
mm-hmm.
Definitely people, a younger generation than myself.
Self, yes, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And, you know, but they're so bright, especially when mm-hmm. it comes to digital systems, you know.
Yep.
They're teaching me things every
yeah,
day.
They're digital natives, right? And mm-hmm. so that's where they really grew up. And the ideas that they have are amazing, right? And so my hope is to be able to remind folks of our generation to listen to them.
Yeah. And you can learn amazing things off of them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Phil. I appreciate your time today.
I really appreciate you for having me. And it's great to see you in person
yes.
rather than just on the screen.
I know, yeah. It's absolutely. All right. Well, I have to come over to Ireland soon.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
You're self-invited.
Yeah.
There's lots to eat, as long as you like Guinness and you like the rain.
It's good. It's very good. All right. Well, back to the show here. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Software Quality Today. If you like what you just heard, we hope you pass along our web address, procellarx.co, to your friends and colleagues, and please leave us a positive review on iTunes. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts and check us out on LinkedIn at ProcellarX. Join us next time for another edition of Software Quality Today.